Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 254. I'm Josiah Sapp for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, it's so good to have all these toys back in my toy bag. I got so much stuff to fucking play with. It's pretty dope. All right, last week was a short show. This one is going to be the complete opposite of that. So let's hit it the way we normally do. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 154, we entitled hashtag Got Single. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain, catch up and give Twitter love, shout outs, then hit the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2016 draft. 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years ago. I took 5 months off, so this is the interesting part about that, though. There were still three spots open at the time for that. We also spoke about the Summer Movie Draft 2016 update, so probably our numbers as far as we got back then, which is really interesting because of news I'm going to go into today. We hit what the fuck news. Dolphin snatches iPad of off woman taking its photo at SeaWorld. Sucker. Driver backs into $290,000 Ferrari while parking. How good are you guys at parking? How good are you guys at parallel parking? Just parking in general. Do you guys jump into other people's cars? Twice. I mean, sometimes you gotta do it. We hit Dopey wipes out, nearly goes overboard during Disney boat show. Okay, I believe RJ and I did a deep dive in rabbit holes on cruise ships. So we did kind of talk about that and we kind of did pull that up. We hit close to home news, 6OC residents charged in stabbing death over a love triangle. Dude, six cats in a love triangle. Yeah, that was a gnarly one. I think I vaguely remember that, but if you guys are curious, go back 100 episodes ago to episode 154, Got Single. We hit Sex Facts, the 7 most ignored relationship issues, and 18 amazing responses to Why Are You Still Single? So I probably went off on those ones. I normally had fun with those relationship talk ones and love sex facts. Comic talk, comic news, we hit Fantastic Four sequel, question mark. Patrick Stewart says new Wolverine film, so Logan, will probably be his last. We hit the first Luke Cage trailer. Jessica Jones showrunner teases multiple villains for season 2. Netflix teases Punisher solo series for 2017, which is pretty dope. Was pretty dope. Wait, Captain Marvel screenwriter says film will quote-unquote reinvent Carol Danvers, which they really did. The movie dropped this year. I loved it. They changed her origin up a bit, and I still really enjoyed it. And then we hit other news, and finally rock some comic reviews. Superwoman number 1, all new, all different. Avengers number 13, Action Comics 961, Civil War 2, The Accused number 1, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 8, Black Monday Murders number 1. All right, that's what we hit 100 episodes ago. I'm just going to hit it again, guys. We have a long show, so bear with me if I talk galore, but that's what I normally do anyways. Bullet points I'm going to hit is I really have to talk about the next episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, which is going to be episode 254.1 that I'm going to drop, I believe, Sunday. So Easter Day, I'm recording this on Wednesday night. I've been recording Wednesday nights, April 17th, today, and I'm going to drop this tonight, so Wednesday night. But that episode is going to be hashtag flip the script, and it's going to be a breakdown of RG and I deep diving Cobra Kai season 1 and season 2 and how we feel about it and how we're not late to the party by far. So because of that, because I'm going to drop it in that way in particular is because Cobra Kai season 2 drops next week, which is April 24th, 2019, which is a Wednesday. So because of the review for season 1, granted, everyone should have seen it by now, and a season 2 preview on top of that. That's why I chose to drop it in a weird way like that. But also next week, the Avengers Endgame drops next Friday, which is 4/26. It initially drops 4/24, I guess, for the most part, Wednesday midnight or Thursday night showtimes, if any of you guys were able to score that. All right, the last piece of my bullet points is going to be the Summer Movie Draft 2019. Okay, I love fucking doing these. These are rad. These are fun. They're funny. We always have a great crowd, great people. All the players involved are always rad and chill to talk to. They're most of the coworkers at the office that RG and I talk about on deep dives. But to have this work out the way it did this year was really weird and really odd, but really fucking cool. And it's always fun. Normal people we have representing the 2OC podcast, Anton and Alan. We have my boy representing Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, Argel Flores. We have our boy Carl, his daughter Gianna, and we have the machine, our homeboy, homegirl at the office, Roslyn. We have Victoria from the office and Sunny. They started a team this year, which was kind of cool. We have 8 teams this year, and I'm going to give you guys a quick rundown without trying to go over too much time, but these are just fucking dope. These are the movies we have and the money we've spent so far. Let me know how you guys would play. It's essentially fantasy football with movies. We're allotted 100 quote-unquote dollars. We pull each summer movie at random, and we legit have an auction for each movie. It can range from fuck as much as you want to put down. If you want to spit down $100 for, let's say, Ugly Dolls, for instance, which is an actual legit summer movie drop, you're fucking out of your fucking mind. So we know how to play the game. We know how to play each other. We know how to bid each other up. We know how to bail when we need to bail. This is going to be, honestly, on paper, what it looks like to me is the most fair fight. Like, everyone has a fighting chance to win this, and that's what's cool about these summer movie drafts. I wanted to get Jude and Art over from the second job because we love fucking movies, but even doing it with these cats that I'm talking about right now, we love the fuck out of movies, and we think we're savvy enough to talk about and break down movies, and that's going to sell, that's not going to sell, that's not going to sell, that movie's going to get pulled. But we've been doing it for so long, this is the 7th annual, so I'm going to give you guys numbers now. So we have a 3-way tie already for 6th place, and it sounds weird, but it's going to make sense, because none of the summer movies have dropped for the most part, hence why, of the roster, or placing, and it'll make sense right now. So 6th place tie, Team Roslyn picked up The Intruder, The Sun Is Also a Star, Ad Astra, Late Night, Toy Story 4, and Crawl. She spent all her money, so $0, hence why she's in 6th place. We have Team Gianna, picked up Spider-Man Far From Home, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. She hit and picked up 47 Meters Down Uncaged. She spent all her money. She also has $0 left. She's also tied for 6th place at the moment. Another one tied, representing the 2OC podcast, Team Allen. He picked up The Hustle, A Dog's Journey. He picked up Aladdin, Brightburn, Godzilla King of the Monsters, Dark Phoenix, Annabelle Comes Home, 17 Bridges, Dora and the Lost City of Gold, and he spent all his money. He has $0 in his account left. Here, this is where it gets interesting, although, how do you guys feel about those first 3 names, those movies for each of them? How do you guys feel about the 6th place spots out of those 3 people? Tied for 6th place, which one of those batch of movies would you guys rather have? And I'm just going to go into that briefly as well. Now we're going to talk into the 5th team spot, or 5th spot. 5th, fuck me. 5th place spot. Sorry guys, my fucking sheets almost fell over. Alright, we have a representative 2OC podcast, Team Anton. He picked up Longshot, Maul, Child's Play, Stuber, The Boy 2, Artemis Fowl, The Kitchen, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and Blinded by the Light. He has $1 left in his account, hence why he's in 5th place. 4th place spot is going to be Team RG from Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, my co-host. From that, he picked up Detective Pikachu yesterday, and Where'd You Go, Bernadette? Where did you go, Bernadette? Who the fuck are you, Bernadette? He only picked up 3 movies, but RG has $8 left in his account, so that's why he's in 4th place. 3rd place is going to be Team Carl, again, before summer movies have even dropped, and I'll go into that right now, but he picked up John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum. He and I were at this for a while, just bending each other up, bending each other down, and ladies, we were going at this pretty quick. He picked up The Secret Life of Pets 2, and he picked up Men in Black International, Shaft, New Mutants, he picked up Shaft, New Mutants, Brian Banks, The Informer, and Playmobil. Carl has $10 left in his account, so That's why he's in the third place spot even before these movies have dropped yet, because however much money you ended up in your pocket goes straight up into, okay, look at these $10 as $10 million. Look at this 13 as $13 million, and it's going to make more sense. Second place spot is going to be Team Sick-Witted, Josias. I picked up Rocket Man. I picked up Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I picked up The Lion King. I have $13 left in my account. I'm in second place spot even before these movies drop again. First time this team is in and playing, and let alone first team I believe we've allowed into this game before. It's going to be Team Vixen. They picked up Ugly Dolls, All Is True, Palms, Booksmart, The Angry Birds 2 in 3D, and Good Boys. They're in the first place spot already because they have $56 in their account, which equates to $56 million. They didn't spend a lot of money, but it's their first time playing, and let alone, you know, playing as a hive mind. Next year, possibly, they're going to split up unless they want to decide to do a team aspect again. But those are how many teams, that's how many people we have in this. So this is the place runners because the first movie of the summer drops 5/3/2019. And the first week of that drop is going to be The Intruder, Long Shot, and Ugly Dolls. All right. It's always fun to do these things. And this summer movie draft is so much fun. So if you guys want to get involved in this, I've been reposting Alan's and the 2OC podcast links. But if you guys want an easier route, just go to the2oc.com/, I believe. And there should be a link so you guys can jump in. The amounts that we paid for each of these movies is up there. And it allows you guys and audience listeners to be involved as well and jump on and play with us. And like, okay, how would you guys spend the money? And out of all these movies, which summer movie do you guys think is going to be the biggest blockbuster for the most part? And do you have enough ammo in your cartridge with your other movies to make up money and make up ground in case, you know, you need the extra help? I went with two movies last year, but I had like $53 million in the bank, so that helped me out honestly a lot. I have three movies this year. I don't think I'm going to win first place. Like, this one's really tough. So if you guys want to hit me up, hashtag on the side, like Team RG, Team Roslyn, Team Gianna, Team Carl, Team Allen, Team Anton, Team Vixen, like, hit me up on the side and just, you know, I want to hear from you guys, and it'll be cool and shoot the shit with everyone. I don't think I'm going to drop their social medias, but fuck it. That's all I got for bullet points. Give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, so much news to go through. First one, we're going to hit still on movies. John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum is the longest film in the franchise. John Wick Chapter 3 clocks in at a hefty 2 hours and some change, 131 minutes, and is uncut. I love the fuck out of this movie, or this franchise. Homeboy has to die. I don't want him to die. The dude that constantly never gets sleep and has no fucking day off. So, and I'm a Doggo fan too, so yeah, it's a dope movie, so I'm kind of, I just want more of John Wick and that John Wick world. Next one is going to be interesting, Mighty Mouse live action animated hybrid film in the works at Paramount. A Mighty Mouse movie mixing actors with animation is in development at Paramount Animation, run by John and Eric Holber. So I guess essentially what Detective Pikachu is trying to pull off. Will it work for Mighty Mouse, a character that nobody really knows about? An obscure superhero slash newspaper comic strip? I know him. Nobody else does. The original cartoons were in black and white. Anyways, if you're old like me, you probably know. Next one's just going to be weird. Karate Kid gets illustrated storybook for 35th anniversary. So if you guys have ever seen the Die Hard Christmas book, kids book, it's kind of the same type of deal like that. So I'm kind of curious about that. All right, next part I'm going to hit DC news. It's going to be a report. Arrow Season 8 will feature Smallville alum Tom Welling, so the original, I was going to say Peter Parker, Clark Kent. A new report indicates former Superman Tom Welling will appear on the final season of CW's Arrow. Kind of curious about that. I love the fuck out of the show Smallville and all the characters I loved. Kristen Crook was dope. Homegirl who played fucking Lois was fucking just gorgeous. But and then the other girl that actually got nailed for a sex scam. She was cool too, Chloe. Anyways, DC Universe streaming service available on Xbox One. The company revealed that they will make the service available on Microsoft's gaming console sometime during the month of April, and that it could be ready to go as early as today. So again, $4.17. Furthermore, the price for the Xbox One version of DC Universe remains exactly the same as any other platform, $7.99 a month after a 7-day free trial, or $74.99 a year. Next one is going to be Marvel and Disney talk. Disney Plus reveals price and launch date. After unveiling plans for its forthcoming streaming service, Disney has officially announced that the Disney Plus streaming service will debut on November 12th. During the Walt Disney Company's Investor Day presentation, Disney confirmed that the service will be available for $6.99 monthly, which is noticeably cheaper than Netflix. Okay. I asked my friend Sonny this question the other day. Do we need another streaming service? And breaking it down, it's like, okay, but it's everything Disney and everything in the vault we have access to. They confirmed Scarlet Witch and Vision series. They even dropped that Captain Marvel would debut specifically on Disney Plus when the service launches. Marvel Studios reveals Disney Plus will first What If stories. So those are coming out. We have, let's see, Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu could be offered at a discounted bundle rate. So if you guys have Hulu, hold on to it. Don't, you know, necessarily unsubscribe yet. There might be a package deal because Hulu is under the Disney banner parts of it. Anyways, Toy Story spinoffs are in development for Disney Plus. Star Wars Cassian Andor, which I love the fuck out of that character from, Fuck Me. Yes, you guys know that one. Rogue One. Sorry about that. Simpsons are heading to Disney Plus as well. Every single episode of The Simpsons will now have an exclusive new streaming home on Disney Plus. Star Wars movies will take a break. Okay, let's hit Star Wars. Fuck me. Star Wars Episode 9 unleashes first trailer and official title. Everyone has seen it by now. At Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, the first teaser trailer for Star Wars Episode 9 debuted, along with confirmation of the film's subtitle. How do you guys feel about it? I love the fuck out of it. Give me more Star Wars. I love J.J. Abrams as a writer and director, and he knows how to play and work with these toys. And Rian Johnson, wow, I really did not like Episode 8 at all, and I know a lot of people didn't, and it's not just the fandom. People talk shit, but those people are dumbasses that bash Marvel, and then they pick up every fucking DVD on Marvel and think they know. Like, I don't understand it, but I get the fandom, but it was bad. It was heartbreaking. So this one looks like it can finally be what a Star Wars is supposed to be, or at least end on, and I'll talk about that right now. Star Wars movies will take a break after Episode 9. So Disney CEO Bob Iger announced the Star Wars franchise will put further films on hiatus after December's Episode 9 releases, The Rise of Skywalker. Again, so misleading, and there's so many ways we can break it down as fans. And, okay, what does this mean? This means that. That means that. It's all speculation, guys. That's all we can do, and hope it's good. So, again, I trust J.J. Abrams. Next one is still going to be on Star Wars. Lucasfilm is still exploring a Knights of the Old Republic project. Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy confirmed Star Wars may return to the Old Republic once the Skywalker saga concludes. All right, this one came out, jeez, fuck me, about 98, 99, I want to say. Knights of the Old Republic and for Xbox. And jeez, it was mainly made for PC, but it's an open world where you kind of get to choose your destiny, and like every action you make, you kind of turn darker, and you, every decision you make, I can choose to help these people. Do I want to kill these Ewoks? Do I want to leave these Ewoks alone? Was great to have, and to have that in a Star Wars game is actually cool. You get the light side and the dark side. So if they're going to make a movie off of that, I'm fucking completely cool with that. They dropped the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order debuts. It's dope, dude. I need to pick up a system now because it just looks dope, dude. I love it. Next one is going to be now strictly Avengers Endgame Directors reminds fans Thanos still demands their silence. I mentioned earlier it's going to drop next week, the 26th, so Friday, next Friday. So a week and a half out from today for the most part. By the time you guys listen to this, I don't know. But yeah, just don't spoil shit for people. That's it. Just be fucking cool, bitch. Just be cool. Next one is going to be Endgame is a definitive ending to the Avengers journey. We always wanted there to be a definitive ending, Feige said. There's an amazing line that Downey says in the film. Part of the journey is the end. That's what Endgame is. So very cool. And last is going to be Avengers Endgame. Joe Russo says Marvel's future is an inclusive one. While promoting Avengers Endgame co-director, Joe Russo revealed Marvel Studios' plans for the MCU's future will be more inclusive. The future of these movies will be an inclusive one, Russo told Variety. Diversity both in front of and behind the camera will be its gold standard. In 2018, the studio released Black Panther, featuring the MCU's first minority star, to critical acclaim, and it was a sick movie. And the soundtrack, and give me more fucking homeboy Killmonger, and commercial success. Similarly, last month saw the release of Captain Marvel, the studio's first female-fronted film, another great movie, while a solo Black Widow movie prefers to enter the principal photography this year. I just love the fuck out of it. All right, guys, I'm going long. Gonna hit comic talk real quick. Fuck it, dude. Greg Pak and Phil Noto taking over Star Wars comic. I love the fuck out of Greg Pak and Phil Noto's art is dope. Type in Phil Noto, so Phil, and then N-O-T-O, and type in anything Star Wars. And just type in Black Widow. Like, his art is gorgeous, and the detail he has is beautiful. So pull up any character that is your guys' favorite, and pull up Phil Noto, any of your character, and it's dope. Let me know what you guys think. Shoot me those pages or pieces you guys find. All right, Marvel announces Target Vader miniseries. So that's going to be fucking cool. The stories they've been telling about Vader right now that are of continuity have been sick, and I've reviewed a bunch of them before, and I'm not going to stop. Last one is going to be Saga. Brian K. Vaughan reveals when series will end. Brian K. Vaughan has revealed that his Image Comics series Saga still has a quite ways to go. Fiona and I, so the artist, and I are excited to finally share with everyone that this compendium represents the first half of our story, a planned 108-issue epic, said Vaughn. We're so grateful to our amazing readers for their support and patience, and we hope this compendium will be the perfect holiday gift to help introduce your loved ones to the continuing adventures, oh my god, of Hazel and her star-crossed family. All right, guys, just because I know how I get with comic reviews, and honestly, being back to the grind and like feeling like, wow, this is what I do with my time. And not having the time to work on or read, I guess, is a weird thing to say, because as much information as I see a day and as much as I want to read more, to sit down and to suck in as much information and to be able to write a review is not hard. It's just finding the time is hard to read. I can go off the cuff most times, but these ones are dope, and I'm going to give you two reviews back to back. This is going to be an Image Comics title, so Image is also releases actually Saga. This one is actually East of West, number 41. I had been talking about this for the longest time, pretty much as soon as it dropped. I love the fuck out of it. Written by Jonathan Hickman. The artist is Nick Dragota. Frank Martin's the colorist, and Russ Wooten is the inker. Issue number 41 starts off with a flashback scene where it looks like Vizier and a young Prince John Freeman go to meet up Shaman and a young wolf. So these are main characters in the story. And these two characters in particular are kids. And it looks as though the Vizier wants Shaman to raise his son, which the Shaman urges him that he would. Like, don't worry. Like, our nations don't war, and you come to me on the side all the time and ask for advice. And I do the same to you. Like, we're friends. So, yeah, if you want me to raise your kid, if anything were to ever hit the fan, you have my word, I'll take care of him. And even to see Prince John, the young Prince John, and Wolf as a young kid, it's really dope to see these pages. And we can see very cool scenes from these two characters we haven't gotten in any other prior issue before. We see these two kids just being kids and have fun together. And they grew up to be men, and different men than we know, because only what we've seen them as the adults that they're written as. So it's not just knowing they essentially grew up together, which is really cool. So this world of East of West is honestly so huge and so vast that Jonathan Hickman can write about a bunch of these characters and then introduce a bunch of new ones, and only to wrap it all back around. Like, I love the fuck out of Jonathan Hickman's writing. Like, I totally appreciate it as a writer. Like, he plays the long game, and he knows his characters so well that he can introduce a character and it's like, okay, this is a dope character, and then introduce you a grip load more, and you have an appreciation for each of these characters, even the villains, some of them. And then it comes back around. It's like, oh shit, where has this guy been? It's a beautiful, fucked up world. East of West is a futuristic, dystopian future. So imagine, again, the United States as a Pangea world, and we have seven nations, and each nation is governed by a specific nation. So we have the Tau nation, we have the Nation of the Endless, which is more like an Indian culture based. We have an old Republic. I know it sounds fucking Star Wars-ish. It's not necessarily the Old Republic. And it's more like gunslingers. So hence the whole East of West. So I love the fuck out of it. As the story starts now, I don't believe in this anymore. But I do believe in you. And Jonathan Hickman is always good about setting up his writing or the next story. So now it jumps to current times as we see John now with a gun to his head. And we learn right away that this was a setup for his older brother to get assassinated. So the vizier is there with John. She's holding a gun to his head. But for John's, it also looked like he's taken the fall. So vizier is technically not only his advisor for the most part, but they're in a relationship. It's his lady as well. The odd thing, though, that happens is she gives the okay on, like, a fucking telecom, like, take the shot. And John's brother is assassinated. She made it look like, okay, John assassinated his brother, which is fucked up. The odd thing, though, is as they're about to escape, the dad comes out and she's about to enter the ship. And he just talks to her very cryptically, almost as if he knows, or there's some kind of approval from him, or if he knows, like, he set it up, or if he's just selling out his own son. And you just get that odd feeling from this conversation. So the way he talks to Vizier is weird, but then we get this great moment from her as they finally leave, and she gets him away from... John is supposed to become the next king, and essentially she tells him, Vizier, like, I love you enough, I had to get you out of there. Like, you were miserable, and yes, you're up now next in line to take the throne, but you're still miserable, and you don't want it, so I had to get you out of there. I mean, he's like, well, you're going to stay with me, right? And he's like, that's the plan. We did this for a reason. Like, you did this for a reason. And again, just for her to explain to him, like, I do love you, and I'm doing it for you. And for her to say goodbye to him was very dope to see. Now it jumps to pages now of Archibald and his daughter, who's on her deathbed. So after the whole run, you really just hate this Archibald. He is a fucking asshole of a character. I love the fuck out of villains. But this fucking guy just really gets on my nerves. And maybe the way it's Jonathan Hickman writes him. Or maybe he's just one of those assholes that he's just so unlikable that he's that fucking villain. So It's really cool, but just like this run and each issue, like normally does happen, it jumps now back to John one more time. And now that he's got dropped off, not needing to, or taken over the throne, going to visit an old friend. And that would be Wolf. Type in Nick Dragota, D-R-A-G-O-T-T-A, Nick Dragota. And type in any character, guys. Marvel, type in Wolf, East of West. Type in Death, East of West. And let me know what you guys think of Nick Dragota's art. He goes to his old friend Wolf, where we get this really dope and rad brotherly bond we haven't seen from these characters the whole run, really. It's 41 issues deep, and it's going to end, I believe, Jonathan Hickman said, with issue like 52, 53. And it's just all the culmination of everything he's invested into these characters in this world. And again, we haven't seen this, and they've never really interacted before, especially together on the same page. So especially with how many characters and how rich each of these characters are, we get a better depth of each nation and the faction now, and each faction, and how each faction is putting all their armies together, because now certain nations don't trust certain nations, and certain nations are promising different things. Does that sound familiar to you guys at all? So it's, again, really great to see each of these characters and each of these nations and where they come from. And it's like you see a nation like where John came from, going to the Endless, where he essentially grew up with him. So it's like, all right, Wolf asks him the weird thing, like, all right, dude, well, you said you were going to take the throne, but yet you're here. He's like, why are you here? Like, you have a job to do. He's like, no, man, this is my fucking job. So I love that aspect of it. Like, you know, the boy aspect, like, you know what? No, fuck the throne. Like, fuck it. Like, shit's going to hit the fan, and I know where I need to be is dope to see, for the most part. When it gets to the end of it, and I know it's going to sound really odd to you guys trying to describe these characters, but hopefully the next review is going to pick it up and you guys are going to be like, okay, this sounds interesting. So again, we get a better depth of each character for the most part. Now we get an Archibald panel now, and somebody tells him, you only fight when people are at their weakest, and that makes you a coward. Hence, Archibald. It's just a bastard character. Pull him up. He just looks like a fucking piece of shit. He looks like fucking the KFC fucking dude. Colonel Sanders. Legit. A thinner version of Colonel Sanders, but studlier. I don't know. Older. But yeah. And a gunslinger. Next one I'm going to review. So, image title, East of West number 42. Jonathan Hickman, Nick Dragota, Frank Martin, and Russ Wooten. And again, I love the way Jonathan Hickman writes. He gives you a blank page, and it says, this is how it ends. You turn two pages, white pages, where it all began. Now, this one starts off with a conversation between war and death. So, yes, war, death, war, famine, conquest. So, literally, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I love the fuck out of this title because of the underlying meaning and theme is the four horsemen of the apocalypse are in it. And one of the last reviews I dropped of East of West had to have been like 2 months ago, but let me tell you a story. Hopefully this is going to be intriguing enough for you guys to be like, what fucking type of fucked up world are you talking about? And why did you make it sound good? And why the fuck do I want to read it? And here you go. Starts off with a conversation between war and death. And War says, we'll finish this thing once and for all. Death says, just name the place. I'll be there. War says, how does the valley of the gods sound? Can you pay the toll to walk that road, old man? Death says, you think I won't? Oh, I hope you do. It's perfect, really. The last time we left things so unfinished. And the four horsemen now, Death is an older gentleman. Not an older gentleman. He's got to be my age. Maybe early 40s. So maybe not my age. Maybe a little bit older than me. But a killer gunslinger. And he's Death. So that's his fucking job. But he's a killer gunslinger. So when these kids, these four kids, are supposed to resurrect every hundreds of years to fulfill this prophecy. And Death is the only one that didn't re-arise or reawaken with his siblings. And I'll go into that. But it's a long story and it might sound convoluted. But Death didn't go back because something happened to him when they were supposed to resurrect that he gave up on his brothers. And it sounds fucked up because he's Death and we should fear Death. But this is what War is telling him, just to fucking be cock and call him out. And it's as beautiful and twisted now. We get this fucked up page, the replay of what happened that we haven't seen, honestly, since early on in this title. So it had to have been like issue number 8 or 9 of what went down between Death and his siblings, War, Famine, and Conquest. So the meanest entity or man on the planet just fucking wanted to be happy. He finally wanted to find, or he found his, I don't want to say it in these ways, but his absolution, his redemption to a certain degree, and even happiness to a weird and certain point. And that's what it is. The story, pages, narration goes on. And this flashback scene is legit what happened. And Death is beat up, and we see him the way he is, but darkened, and it makes sense to me. And his siblings at the time are adults, and they're badass-looking motherfuckers. When they get resurrected as kids, it's like, where the fuck's Death? That motherfucker didn't arise with this. That means he's out here. So he's dealing with kids right now. But this flashback scene shows how gnarly, twisted, and badass and fucked up these horsemen of the apocalypse are. And again, starts off and he's beat the fuck up. And not only is he facing his three siblings, but on a cliff top, we see the nations that are quote unquote supposed to be working together to fulfill this quote unquote prophecy. And they're watching these horsemen of the apocalypse go at it. And Death says, "Where's my wife?" And when the siblings answers, "Oh, that tasty bitch has slipped this moral coil." You would think that after centuries of it, one would grow weary of the taste. But that's the real reason we cultivate them, isn't it? Because man is so very toothsome. As War now throws him a bloodied bag. And we get, as soon as Death catches it, we get visions of his time with his lady. As he opens the bag and he's holding and hugging her severed arm. Like, that's all it is, just her severed arm. Her severed arm. And it just fucking pisses him off. And that's when War says, "There he is." Death says, "I'm gonna gun you down, but you ain't gonna go quick. And you ain't gonna go good." And then fucking the other answers, Famine answers, "Really? Guns?" And again, Death, this version of Death is a gunslinger, but a badass fucking gunslinger. And they still taunt him. "Really? Guns? You want to do this that way? Look how far you've fallen." Death says, "Fair enough. We'll do this the old way then." And it's as if no one wants to fuck with him with his toys. And it's Death and his pistols. He's a honed shooter. He's a skilled shooter. And they have him to the point where he's ready to flip. And it's like, "Oh, I'll face you, but I'm not going to face you with that. You're too good with that. Put that down. Like, how can we make things harder for you?" Ah, yes, Barstools and WonderCons, I guess. Some shit like that. As we see the onlookers from the cliff, though. Sorry, that was a bad joke, guys. And we're something we, or I can't say I've ever, or could recall anyone ever mentioning this in the story, the whole fucking run. And one of the onlookers says, "Only by their own hand, or by an instrument of their making, may a child of the apocalypse die. To kill one of them, you'll need a weapon made by someone or something other than man." And as it goes back to this scrap now, as Death goes to work. So he pulls out a dagger and he's fucking up his siblings. And I know it sounds terrible, but it's war, famine, conquest, and death. So, I mean, like, come on, guys. Come on now. I'm not talking shit here. But to see him go to work, it is dope to see, like, I'm really good with my guns, but if you want me to put those in the holster, if you want me to put my lightsaber away, I don't need my lightsaber to fuck you up. And he goes to work, and this issue is not, I don't want to say violent, but fuck me, it's so good and so harsh and so beautiful. And the pages are just great to see these fight scenes, so many action sequences, but fight legit, arms severed, like everything's, it's death going to work. And then the other sibling says, so he took out the first one. There was a time when I feared you more than anything. But I see you now for what you are. And all that fear is gone. Death says, yeah? Take another look. And it's just a beautiful, fucked up, gorgeous single title. For so much that has taken place on this run and to get... I mean, all the payoffs are good when you get the payoffs. And Jonathan Hickman, again, is playing the long game, but he pulls these stunts where it's like, shit. Now I really want to see you guys go at it again. Now, his lady was Zhao Lin. I'm not going to leave you on a total cliffhanger, but for that title, episode or issue 42, I will. Death fell in love. And again, the retribution, he has a job to do. He has his job to do. He's Death. To find retribution is never going to fucking happen. To find anything is never going to happen for him. But the fact that this fucking asshole was able to find it and to fall in love, and it's okay for him, and for him to bail finally and be like, you know what? Nah, I like what I have. To give up on the job or want to quit the job because fuck it. I can be happy. It's my time to be happy. It's a fucked up story, honestly. And we find out later on in the story, so I'm not spoilers, guys. Zhao Lin, you find out, doesn't die. She gets her arm severed for sure. They do have a baby. They name Babylon. And they kidnap their baby. Like, so much shit happens. They kidnap their baby. So Death and Zhao Lin's baby, they call Babylon. And he's supposed to be... not the Antichrist, but the destroyer of the world. And the way they kidnap him and just keep him in this fucked up, I don't want to say bubble, but this technological facility where he's getting brainwashed. And they tether his eyes down with, plastered with fucking fake things, but... literally numbers of, like, okay, this is what you see. These are the probabilities of these things happening. And they want to breed him to be this weird, not a machine, but they want to use his powers to destroy the world in their way. And the only thing Death wants to do is get... number one, he knows his lady is alive. But he promises his lady, I'm not going to see you till I find out our boy is fucking good. Because I'm going to bring him to you. And that's the story of East of West. Can Death be happy? Can someone so fucked up find retribution? Like, can you be happy? Was a beautiful story. And I love the fuck out of this. I know it sounds odd and morbid, and it's an Image Comics title. That's why, if any, I would rather write for Image Comic and do a route that way where I don't have to... where I can drop F-bombs and fucking I can show tits, artist, dude. All right. I need this really cool sex scene, but not gratuitous, but just sexy enough. You know, like, you know, it's stupid, but shit, that would be kind of cool. All right, guys, this isn't last week's episode. It was long because I love the fuck out of this title, and I love the fuck out of just the last one I read, 42 East of West, number 42, was dope. And that action sequence, that fight scene with Death and him just... going off, because sometimes you need to go off on people, especially when you have everyone and everything against you. Sometimes you got to fight back. Sometimes you got to rage against the fucking machine. So love the fuck out of it. Book of the week. I hope you guys liked that. Sorry if I went long. Let me know what you guys think about the show. That's all I got. All right, guys, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. This is about a good 45-minute show. I want to add one more thing. I think I probably will. But all right, guys, listen to next week's episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. And If you guys haven't seen Cobra Kai season 2 is going to drop next week, and I'm proud of that one, dude. I just like to break things down, and we're not late to the fucking party. We fucking are the party.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Sholo Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo!